The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Just a quick note that we don't really talk about these items very much, but this was recorded before the hurricane, the election, and Sarita was sworn in. All right, everybody, thank you.
Well, welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I'm Rick Welch. To my left is the Honorable Sarita the Edge Edgerton.
We are less than 8 weeks from Election Day.
How about that? And you're swearing in, and how long?
9 weeks.
9 weeks?
Less than 9 weeks.
Less than 9 weeks. Wow. Behind the glass, Rocket Man Andy Bishop. Straight out of Compton, Ralph Hicks.
Represent.
Charlton R. Carter III. Or should I say, Big Daddy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
So now you know his name.
Yeah.
Charlton Richard Carter III. How about that?
Is he in trouble?
Apparently. No.
Andrew Aaron Bishop.
AAB.
See?
I know, weird initials, right? AAB.
AAB. Like,
how do we, yeah, whatever.
Sarita, what's your middle name? Sarita?
Lee.
Sarita Lee Edgerton. How about you, Ralph?
Michael.
Ralph Michael or Michael Ralph?
Now, if it was Michael Ralph, then I would have been an MR in school. So I got lucky.
Well, so
sort of lucky I had the name Ralph.
I think I told you guys, though, my middle name is Joe, and it was a nickname that was given to my mother's uncle named Ralph. So I could have been Ricky Ralph, but instead they call me Ricky Joe.
Yeah, Ricky Joe's better.
Yeah.
Ricky Ralph is just, that's just
off the tongue
something.
Better.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law is Ricky Dale.
What's he doing? Ricky's Ralphing.
Ricky Ralph.
Ricky Ralph.
Little Ricky.
Man, well, we're back in the studio, and after that last episode, we started talking about all kinds of stuff, and I was getting, like, very frustrated, which is okay, because we're just trying to read it for what we read it as and not using all of the things that we've already been taught, because, I mean, it's easy to do that. We can all, you know, we've done that before. So this is going to be, I don't know anything about the Hebrew language. I don't know anything about the structures, like chiastic structure. I didn't know anything about it. There's so many things that I don't know. So what I want to tell the audience now is that please just bear with us. Go through this with us as we try to wrestle with this with our own modern thinking American minds and then with our best ability with what we've read in the scripture. And then when we get to the end of this, I have a feeling that we're going to go back into some of this more. Like, I think we'll probably dig deeper, but with the things that we do know. But for right now, we're just going to try to come at this just honest, just with what we got, just what we got.
Well, a lot of times I don't go looking at something, and once I get to a point where I don't understand it, I'm looking for inspiration, because sometimes things are heavy and you have a lot of studying to do. So it's like I try to pull inspiration, and it's from Daniel 3 that I pull inspiration.
Well, so with that in mind, I'm going to read this. Were you using the ESV? Okay, good, because I'm going to read out of the ESV.
Okay.
And I'm only going to read down to verse 7. So let's start with Daniel chapter 3, verse 7, and it says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up.
I got a question. When did the Irish show up?
The Irish?
Is that the Irish or the English?
What are you talking about?
The bagpipes.
Oh, I don't know. Is it the bagpipe?
I don't know. It could be that was invented before the Irish, and we just associated with the Irish. I mean, anything's possible, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling that these first seven verses, that there's something going on with the way that the author continuously he says the things over and over, you know, like when he's like the magistrates and the counselors and this, and it's weird. It's like, so he sent together the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the counselors and the treasurers and the justice, the magistrates and all the officials of the provinces, you know, for the dedication. Then the satraps, the prefects, the magistrates, the justice, like he instead of just saying, and all of them did this, he says it again, right? Do you follow what I mean? Is that just like a Hebrew thing, you think?
He was a Levite.
This was Aramaic. It was written in Aramaic.
Maybe.
Is this chiastic too? Mini chiastic?
I don't. Maybe a mini chiastic structure, but I think he is wanting us to understand that it was everybody.
Everybody.
It is everybody. It everybody. Wasn't just a few of them. It wasn't just a few governors here or there. It was everybody and everybody they represented.
So when you were doing your study on the introduction for Daniel, whereabouts does chapter 3 land? Is this still when Daniel's 20 or is this later? Because this is going to be the fiery furnace part. So this isn't the lion's den.
Well, isn't this right after chapter 2, not far after chapter 2, because he got a big head and he was starting to get into himself, and that's when he started believing that he was great again.
Well, I don't know. That's what I wanted to find out.
And then built this. I mean, it probably took a while to build it, but I think this would have been, you know.
He knows he's the head of gold.
After that, right.
He knows that God's made him the man, and he knows eventually he's going to fall, maybe not in his lifetime. But so he's setting up this image, which is kind of bizarre. You think that, I guess this is where he's going to learn the lesson from Daniel, because, I mean, he just said that Daniel's God is the God of all, right?
So there's got to be some time between when that was done, when that was said.
Yeah.
And when this happens, because we're introduced to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here, but the chiastic structure on this is whatever this chapter is, 3, coordinates with 6.
Okay.
As far as protection, but it doesn't give a time period as far as I can see.
Okay.
And then I would assume that Daniel 6 is the lion's den story, protection.
Right.
Right. So, I don't really know.
Daniel's in position number 2. It just said he made him the second most powerful man in all of Babylon.
And then he gave it up.
What do you mean?
It says, and Daniel made a request and appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the province of Babylon, and he stayed at the king's court.
When does it say that?
That's the very last verse of chapter 2.
Did I miss that?
I read it.
Well, let me get my brain.
It's even
Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court.
Daniel wanted to stay right next to Nebuchadnezzar for whatever reason.
Okay, so he didn't give it up. It seems like he stays in the king's court as the position number 2. I don't know that he gave it up. He's just putting them over the affairs.
To me, it seems like he didn't want to go to wherever that location was, so he sent them so he could stay next to the king. That's the way I interpreted it.
Okay.
But I could be just reading my own thing into it, but he's going to make him the ruler, but he didn't do that. So he stayed back. And I'm curious as to why. The Bible never really tells us why he stayed back.
So the way that I'm seeing this is that all of the men that had been in power with, like, whoever was, we don't know who second in command was under Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel replaced.
And if there was such a person.
Right. And we don't know if there were other people over the affairs of Babylon at the time either. So it's quite possible
That's what a satrap and a governor is.
Right.
And a prefect. He made him prefect.
All right. So when
chief
does...
Chief prefect.
I'm sorry to...
Chief prefect.
Yeah. See, chief prefect in verse 48. He made him chief prefect over all the wise men. So... Then it goes and talks about the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the satraps. A satrap was higher than a governor.
So, chief prefect over the wise men of Babylon. Okay. Yes, Rick?
Maybe he could keep an eye on them if he's in the court.
The question would, it's an interesting perspective because I was thinking, when does Ezra come in this? Is that quite a few years later?
Yeah.
Ezra? You mean Ezekiel?
No, Ezra. Ezra is going to be the one that goes back and builds the temple.
Well, you've got...
I thought it was Nehemiah.
Nehemiah builds the wall.
Oh, okay.
You bring a good point that we're talking about who got... Who was... Was it not Haman? Who was the gentleman that got... That in the story of Esther?
Mordecai. Oh, so you said Esther. You said Ezra. You meant Esther?
Was it Ezra? I'm terrible.
Esther is where Haman and Mordecai and Mordecai. All of them come up. It's another recapitulation of a man going in second position under the Persian king.
Well, you bring up a good point. And there was huge disdain, and there was a connection from another study by Bob Cruikshank about Mordecai. I'm curious if the replacement of whoever was in second command of Nebuchadnezzar has a connection to that family of Mordecai.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So like if it was Haman, if Haman was in second place, but then Mordecai replaces him. So who is the one that's under Nebuchadnezzar? We don't know. It doesn't say, but I hadn't picked up on chief prefect. So you caught that, Sarita. So that's good. So he's made the chief prefect. And so he is.
So that becomes.
And because he knows that they can't be trusted. He stays behind to protect the king. I don't know.
Yeah. It sounds right. It sounds like Game of Thrones move. And it also sounds like he put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, which is the headquarters of the entire empire.
I mean, that's kind of hard for one man watching, to do.
He's watching everything. Like he's over everything now. But then Nebuchadnezzar gets this wise idea to start building an idol for himself, right?
Which is something probably
that's something that they've done in politics forever. Somebody gets elected to office, they bring the people in that they trust.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they build a cabinet.
Oh, I've been told don't trust anybody. So that's where I'm going.
Yeah. Welcome to South Carolina House of Representatives. I love it.
That, what is it? I never can remember that have a villainy and scum, scum and villainy.
What is that from?
Is that from Star Wars when they go into the bar?
Yes, that is Star Wars.
Yeah, we talked about that in one of our bar session. Bar scene. So you don't know if he's, where did I go with that one?
I don't know.
You were talking about Nebuchadnezzar and building the idol. The one thing we don't know is most of those, how paganistic Nebuchadnezzar and his, like were. I guess they were very because he builds an idol.
Well, we don't tell you, they don't tell us either what happened to the guy that was in that place before. Did he get cast out? Did he just get demoted or what? Because we know what happened when Mordecai took over.
This episode is brought to you by Supply Chain Solutions.
Supply Chain Solutions is a third-party logistics company providing small to mid-sized businesses an outsourcing option focusing on warehouse management, customization of products, assembly, and packaging of goods, and has the ability to meet business-to-business and business-to-consumer fulfillment needs. Supply Chain Solutions continually strive to be their customers' most highly valued partners for quality, delivery, responsiveness, and customer service. To learn more about Supply Chain Solutions, you can visit their website at www.supplychainsolutions3pl.com. That's www.supplychainsolutions3pl.com.
And now back to the show.
Yep. All right. So the timeline, I do actually kind of have a timeline. So in Daniel 3, they're 19 to 20 years old. So it's not very far. Daniel 2, he's 17. Daniel 1, he's 15. So he's not very far from when he started. And then you're going to jump in Daniel 4 till he's like, there's some time. So 45 to 50.
Yeah.
So there's some time. So he's still young. It's not that far from where we just were, maybe 2 years.
Okay.
So they could build a statue in 2 years.
Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar could get, in his mind, I guess, He's got control of Daniel and all of his guys. He's got the God of Gods on lock, and so now he knows he's the gold man.
Right. So I might as well act like it.
So I might as well go ahead and throw up my golden statue. The
whole world.
Yep. All right, so let's go on to verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Did it say that in the first?
Yeah, I remember hearing that. But something about a fiery furnace. Did we read the same thing twice?
It never said it in the first seven verses.
Yes, it did. Verse 6.
Let's see. Let me see. Verse 6. And whoever does not fall down and worship. Yep, you're right. So that is a complete, it's saying it all over again. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, this is a very interesting response. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded. Now, what's the change? Is he like every other man? Is he getting a hard heart?
Well, he's got this thing built to himself, and so he's now thinking that he's above everyone and everything.
I mean, yeah, but he just said that this man's, he's got the God of God.
What's funny is, it wasn't every Jew. It was certain Jews.
Just the ones in power.
It was the three.
It was the ones that mm-hmm. Daniel had put in power.
It was those three who...
They don't like being ruled over by the Jews.
Whoever else they brought with them.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, they brought more than three.
So they were all bowing down. But these guys are like, not doing it. Not gonna do it.
And these were the ones that he had put over the province. Mm-hmm. So
there's got to be some significant amount. And this is why I was asking about the connection. Because now you have a motive of malice against the Jews, because now they've been placed into a hierarchy level when they came from literally nothing.
Yeah, it always happens.
Well, I'm going to be too. How dare you? I lift you up to this, and then you won't do this as everyone else has done and as I've commanded?
Well, it also could go back to the ego thing. All these guys, the satraps, the governors,
oh,
the
king,
prefects, look what they're doing. They're not doing what they're supposed to,
or
king. And he brings their attention to it. And he gets if he doesn't do something about these three upstarts who are disobeying mm-hmm. the law, the rule that he made, if he doesn't do something about it, he's feckless.
Nebuchadnezzar is bipolar.
Aren't we all?
I think so. But
you're
saying.
You're hot and you're cold.
He falls on his face on the ground.
Worships
he's so
God.
Impressed about what Daniel's God could do. You have the God of all gods. And puts him in power, then Daniel puts his friends in power, you give it a little bit of time, and then Nebuchadnezzar has suddenly got this power trip again.
You know, I just listened to a podcast on this whole thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's, when things are rough, you bow down and you'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or when things are good, when you get it, you'll bow down and do anything. But then when things are going your way and you're in charge and everything, you start thinking, well, I did this, not God, I did this. And that's when we fall away. So it's in those times that you can judge a person by, things are going well, and they're thinking, now they're thinking,
way, right?
It's me, not God. Yeah, okay. And that's where I think he's doing at this point. And could he be thinking, oh, so you guys are as big as me now?
Mm-hmm. So I give you a little bit of power and then you don't follow.
Right.
That's what we're going to do. You're going to rise up. So now we're going to follow what you guys say. You're not going to follow what I say. So that is a problem.
And if they do it and I don't, it's like your child.
Yep.
If I let one of my children run out into the road, are the other one's going to run out the road, or am I going to go punish the one?
Well, yeah,
for
because
not running out the road, they'll all die.
One spark can create a fire destroy the whole village. So he's got
So the next time the bow down happens, it's not three of them, it's six.
Right.
Because courage begets courage.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to squash that nonsense.
Well, that's a huge flip in from chapter three, where. Or is it two?
Yeah.
We're on three.
We're on three.
All right. And from chapter two, when Nebuchadnezzar actually bowed down before Daniel. And now he's asking them to bow down before him.
Yeah.
It's a huge.
So he just decided to make the statue himself.
Yep.
Basically.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make the whole thing gold and I'm going to live forever.
Started feeling it was him and not God anymore.
Well, I'm going to live forever. The whole, it's not just the head that's gold now, it's the entire statue is gold.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm just going to skip all the other empires together and I'm going to rule forever.
If he'd have done the bowing down in front of all the people, then they would have seen something that would have probably never come into question. If Nebuchadnezzar would have bowed before Daniel, if it would have been in front of the same progression. And confessed what he confessed.
Is it possible, because there's no time statement whatsoever in that dream, that Nebuchadnezzar could have gotten the wrong idea about it? So he knows he's the gold because Daniel's expected, has told him that.
But maybe he's going to help God, like Abraham and Sarah did with Hagar. Yeah. I'm going to help God.
We're going to speed
make me right. Make me the person that everybody looks to.
Yeah.
He forgets about the part where something comes and crashes it down and becomes dust and it's blown away and not remembered.
Yeah, or do you think it's possible that in his mind, that all of this could happen over the next 50 years and maybe he's the rock that's going to destroy everything and build the mountain?
That's a good point.
Maybe he's trying to rush this along. Interesting.
Don't we always try to help God?
Yes.
I'm a Gentile. I always try to help God.
You're a gentle Gentile.
I don't know about the gentle part.
So then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Is this poetry, guys?
It's got to be.
It's got to be poetry.
It's got to be lyrical.
Because it's like a song, isn't it? Because I bet you they sing this to you, you know? If you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn and the pipe and the lyre and the trigon and harp and bagpipe and every...
So should they have been bowing out immediately as he's talking?
Because
they're singing.
It's got to be a song. It's got to be some sort of a poetry here because they keep doing it. It's just over and over saying the same thing over and over and over. It's like the chorus.
I wonder if it is a piece of poetry that was probably older than the story, because poetry is actually older than narrative storytelling, and they like worked that.
They worked it in.
Yeah,
I was thinking Mel Brooks while you did that.
Yeah. So, but if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?
Little G, not big G.
But that's a big move. Now, that is
the same as what
Goliath
was doing with David.
Did Daniel tell Nebuchadnezzar that these three Jews were under his control?
Of course, he asked. He asked for permission to do it, remember?
Look at you reading context and remembering it.
It says he made a request of the king.
And the king said yes.
And he said yes.
So now he's forgotten it. How quick?
Just a couple maybe years.
I mean, it's a couple years or even 5 years. I mean, just... If somebody,
even
interpreted
Ill.
His crazy dreams, he'd be like, what? You know, like that would mean something to you, right?
I would absolutely be impressed.
Would you follow my God?
That's pretty strong.
Damn.
Dude.
Would you at least acknowledge that maybe there could have been a God that exists?
If I could read your mind and tell you everything about your thoughts, then would you be like,
reading your mind is different because you can kind of imply through extenuating not circumstances, but dreams are crazy.
Yes.
Dreams make no sense frequently at all. They're just random imagery smashed together and half forgotten.
Yes. But it's like, do you remember, like I said about the marshmallow sandwich, the only reason I did that, it's a callback to like, what is it, a Christmas Carol? What's the name of the Bah Humbug guy? What's his name?
Ebenezer
Scrooge. Do you remember whenever he sees the vision or he sees the ghost and he says, "You're just a piece of undigested beef"?
Yes.
You know? It's like our gut does affect our dreams. I mean, I think that's true. Wouldn't you agree, Andy?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's absolutely true.
I also think the things that happen to you during the day.
What did Nebuchadnezzar eat, man? Nebuchadnezzar had some Vienna sausages. All right. So.
Well, I'm pretty sure it wasn't kosher.
Right. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter."
Notice that they don't grandstand like Daniel did earlier. There's no, King of Kings, and he who is over all men.
Yeah. Well, just listen cocky he's talking, though, as the king.
Nebuchadnezzar.
What God is going to deliver you.
They call him by his name.
Yes. They didn't say king. Ooh, that's good. Hey, that's good.
Hey, Nebby.
Don't call me Nebby Kamala. K, baby. It's vice president.
But think about this. This is now he's a power tripping dude, right? He's got some power. Everybody has to bow down when they hear some bagpipes or whatever else the trigon is. And what do they say to him? "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." I'm smack you in the mouth talking to me like that.
Could you imagine being called by a subpoena to say, like, the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
And you go up and say, "I'm sorry, Supreme Court Justice person. I'm not going to give a specific name, but I have no need to answer you."
Yep.
I mean, it would make that, and this guy's king over everything. Yep. That's just a judge.
Yep.
This guy's a king over, I mean, he has your power of your life and death in his hands, theoretically. Now, we all know who has really in control. All right,
so let's see how pissed off he gets. "So if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king."
There it is.
But here comes the magic.
"But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." You like that one, right, Ralph?
That is my inspiration.
Yeah.
"But even if he doesn't deliver, I will not bow down. I'm staying faithful to my God."
Even if the bad times come.
That's right.
So they have a lot of confidence in their God. Verse 19, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury." So he's got rage and fury. "And the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats." I never noticed that they had hats on. "And their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace."
And this isn't the first time this has happened, talking about recapitulation.
Recapitulation?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
This happened in another story in an apocryphal book.
Oh, really?
Yes. It happened to Abraham in Jasher.
Oh, okay.
The same story.
He was thrown in the fire?
He was thrown in the fire.
How about that? We need to read Jasher someday.
For not worshiping idols.
Ah. So it's kind of like this theme.
Because we don't learn our lesson, we have to hear it.
So what are our golden idols today? Like, what are we doing?
Cars, watches, toys, guitars. I mean,
social media.
What was that idol thing?
Everything that you don't need.
American Idol.
Anything besides food and protection and shelter and God and love and your family. Come on now. Everything we buy, just about.
We use that
word. You think that guitar is an idol? Do you think that a paintbrush is an idol?
If that's what you do for a living, no. But if you just buy a bunch of paintbrushes,
but if you just do it for enjoyment, then it's an idol.
Well, I don't know that if you do it just for enjoyment, but if you're just doing it to collect stuff.
So at what point does it become an idol?
So now you have to define how an idol becomes an idol.
Right, there you go. Mm-hmm.
So what is it?
What is that? What was that word you...
Look how many paintbrushes I have. It was another word.
Iconolatry?
Iconolatry. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the seven deadly sins, bragging about your possessions, but it has nothing to do with what possessions they happen to be.
So in essence, Ralph, but I see where you're going with this. Like if you have somebody so let's use my business as an example, okay? I know some people that their entire identity is wrapped up in their business and wrapped up in the money that they make in the business, and it becomes their sole purpose in life to make sure that it succeeds. You know, I think that And if it takes your mind away from your family, it takes your mind away from your faith or whatever it might be, you know, then it could be an idol to you. You could enjoy it. You could enjoy it. But I think it's how it affects other people that makes it idolatry, possibly.
I would think it would have to be something that you revered specifically in sort of a pseudo-religious or religious manner.
Well, I mean—
I think it's something that takes your eyes off God.
I mean, in this story, Nebuchadnezzar is making people bow down to this image that he made. So that's pseudo-religious whatever.
Yeah.
But as far as like, you know, for me, like whenever I was a kid and I loved listening to Jimi Hendrix and he was an icon of mine, I didn't necessarily worship him.
In that way.
But I spent a lot of time like wanting to know how to play Little Wing. You know what I mean? Like I spent a lot of my time doing it anyway. But for these fellas, these three fellas in their hats, they get thrown into this burning fiery furnace and it's so hot, seven times hotter, and that it burns the guys up that are throwing them in him, and they are down in this. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. I wonder what that looked like. Did you hear that?
The fourth?
They threw three men in, but when Nebuchadnezzar looks, he sees a fourth man.
And that was the
rock.
And
that fourth one looks like a son of the gods.
There was another in the fire.
Yeah. So who's this? Who's this guy that's in the fire?
It makes me think
he looks like the son of God.
It makes me think of a flame image of a man, really.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like what does it look like? So then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that would have been a good time to be like, no, why don't you come up in here? We have nothing to talk about with this matter.
Come closer, Nebuchadnezzar.
I'm sorry. That's kind of interesting that he goes up to the door, that the men threw the three men in, and it's like it's already cooled down.
Yeah, maybe so.
From some time.
Or he's looking from a distance where he's not having to sit right up in the front of it. But he's not getting burned.
He is saying he came near the door.
Yep, he came near the door. I mean, maybe.
That could be in relation to where he was to begin with.
Yep, absolutely. Could be. So.
Don't know.
Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men, of those men.
One more thing I would say is when he talks to those three, he says, which one of the gods will save you? And when he announces himself to them, he says, to the Most High God.
Yes.
That's a Yahweh. That's a huge Jehovah. Different. Mm-hmm. He's either riddled with dementia or mental illness or
bipolar.
Could be. He knows what he knows, but he's not standing on what he knows.
He's a narcissist. Has anybody ever been gaslit before?
My whole life.
There you go. So the hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them.
And I find this fascinating because if we light the fire pit in our backyard, it doesn't matter where I sit around it, the smoke comes my way, and I smell like a dadgum chimney.
I know.
Well, good thing about that is it keeps the bugs away when you got the smoke.
That's true.
But
I
can't breathe either.
But I can't smell like it. I don't like the smell of it. But like they were in the middle of it.
But a lot of times, like when we cook like meat or bacon or something in the house, like I'll cook it because the smell of it will get into my wife's hair. And it's the same with the fire outside. If we're sitting outside and we go inside, I feel like the fire just followed us in the house. But these guys didn't smell like a fire at all.
Not a bit.
Nope.
I bet the three dead guys did.
Anyway, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their... He's saying blessed are these guys for setting aside the king's command.
He said, blessed be the God, not blessed be the guys.
Right, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel. So now that son of the gods, he's saying, is an angel, and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So evidently, whatever Daniel had made them wasn't the highest honor, I guess.
And where was Daniel?
Where's Daniel during all this? Exactly. Where's he at?
Maybe he was sent out on official king business.
He's chilling at the crib.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, he's going to have his moments later, but in this one, he's nowhere to be found. Did he bow down? I'd like to think not.
It doesn't say he did, so I'm going to have to say no on that.
It doesn't say he did, so it would be assumed that Daniel's nowhere to be found.
And the four of them...
I think he's not there.
The four of them go together.
Yep.
And... Where one goes, we all go, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that Daniel knew more than they did.
Yeah.
The Bible says in the first chapter, if you remember back,
yeah,
he was given special knowledge by God.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can forget that, like Nebuchadnezzar seems to be forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think if he was in town that he would have bowed down. He would have also been, there would have been a fifth one in the fire.
Right.
But... I mean, the Bible doesn't say so. We shouldn't make a whole big deal about it.
But there is a distinct difference that Daniel is not in chapter 3.
He is not there.
He's gone.
Which is curious.
And God's protection is over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
That's right.
But God's protection in this case is not over Daniel. It will be in the future, but not
in this particular case.
Unless this chapter is out of order, which is be the only thing that would be that this was technically a late chapter past Daniel.
I think
we have to keep it closer to that the dream chapter because I think the two statues are not exclusive of one another. I really think we have to keep those two statues for some kind of correlation.
I think you have
It doesn't have to be a year or 2 years. The timeline that I was given could be wrong. Nobody knows. I don't know. I wasn't there.
But you would assume that the gold statue and the golden image would be linked. And also the fact that it mentions in chapter 2 that Daniel had put the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of Babylon. So to look over the affairs of Babylon. So this means whatever Nebuchadnezzar has done, Daniel's not there to see this. He elevates these three men. And it's being seen by the king and not by Daniel doing it, right? Daniel put these other ones in charge, and that's what these other men are mad about. These Jews are ruling us. They're not doing what they're supposed to. We don't like it. What's all this power that they've got? And then now Nebuchadnezzar is saying, not only did I put Daniel in power, but now I'm putting these three in power. So now you got four men that are Jew that are in power in Babylon. So that's quite remarkable. As far as the Bible story is concerned. So I'm sure there's more to it, but I think let's wrap there.
This episode is brought to you by Supply Chain Solutions.
Supply Chain Solutions is a third-party logistics company providing small to mid-sized businesses an outstanding option focusing on warehouse management, customization of products, assembly and packaging of goods, and has the ability to meet business-to-business and business-to-consumer fulfillment needs. Supply Chain Solutions continually strive to be their customers' most highly valued partners for quality, delivery, responsiveness, and customer service. To learn more about Supply Chain Solutions, you can visit their website at www.supplychainsolutions3pl.com. That's www.supplychainsolutions3pl.com.
And now back to the show.
But I would like one thing to do for a tag. I would like to have somebody explain chiastic structure for a tag because I'm dying.
Yeah, so she did that once before, but let me pull it up.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's in our text thread, and there's not a whole lot of messages after it. So you should be able to find it pretty easy.
Oh, no, I want it for the pod.
Well, I got you.
Yeah. I mean, for me, too, but we've talked about chiastic structure a lot without actually defining it on air.
So a chiastic structure is kind of done after the Greek letter chi, which is X. Mm-hmm. But it, so they take the one side of the X, if you will, which kind of makes an inverted, a greater than sign. If you know your math, you're greater than sign. And so.
Or the alligator.
Or, yeah. So back the then. 2 points of that alligator are the greater than sign portion of the X. Those two things correlate to one another. And then as you move down towards the middle point, these books. So in this case, it's Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, right? And then Daniel 3 and Daniel 6, and then Daniel 4 and Daniel 5. And they're all sort of related by the same theme. Uh-huh. And it's a literary structure that Greeks and Aramaic people and apparently Hebraic people used to tell a story.
Okay.
So if to give you a really good, because that, it really confused me. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the Philippians 2 chiasm, okay? So in the New Testament, Paul wrote the letter to the church in Philippi, and there happens to be a chiastic little poem that he writes in it, okay? Verses 7 and 8 in chapter 2. And it says verses 7a and 8c correspond, as do verses 7b and 8b and verses 7c and 8a. So 7a being made nothing, and 8c, death on a cross, 7b being a servant, 8b. So here's how it works. If I do, if I'm going to do 7, 7, 7, verse 7, a, b, c, would be being made nothing, being a servant in human likeness. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if you imagine being made nothing, being a servant, human likeness.
Yep.
Then we go to A, and then it says death on a cross. I'm sorry, human appearance, humble obedience, death on a cross. That's not working.
I'm going to need red string.
It goes backwards.
So
it goes backwards.
It goes backwards.
It goes backwards.
So where that last one would have been, that first one. So yeah.
So being made nothing, death on a cross, being a servant, humble obedience, human likeness, human appearance.
Correct.
Death on a cross would be back at the be made nothing. So it goes down and comes back.
That's right. I'm sure that helped you.
So for instance,
that makes a little sense. Daniel 2. It's not super clear. But so it's not necessarily about chronological events.
In Daniel, they're not.
It's about opposing. It's about themes.
It's about themes.
It's about themes.
Yes. It's about the idea. Like humility would be part, you know, if you, let's say you have a 6 or a 7 position chiastic structure, and position 2 talks about humility. Well, when you go down to position 5, I said it was a 7, so you go to position 6, it would be exaltation. So now you have humbleness, but then exalted. Uh-huh. And they're the same ideas, like the way that you look at yourself or the way that people look at you, humble or exalted.
So if you think about the book we're currently reading, if you read it, try to read it chronologically in this point, you would get to, you'd have Nebuchadnezzar, and then we go to what, Cyrus or Darius?
Darius the Mede.
And then you go to Cyrus, and then you go back to Darius. And you wait, what? Darius ruled, is that Darius the second?
Right, when it confuses you.
You're like, wait, that doesn't belong. But when you look at it, chapter 2 was about Gentile history. Chapter 3 was about protection, and then we just read that with Shadrach. Then we're going to go into chapter 4, which is revelation to a Gentile king. And then chapter 5 is also revelation to a Gentile king. And then we're going back down that second leg of the X. Then we're going back to protection, which is going to be Daniel the lion's den, chapter 6. And then Gentile history once again in chapter 7. And
see how they're kind of correlating them.
Okay.
Yeah, so you got the alligator and you got the bird.
I don't... Bob Cruikshank did a recent thing on our portal, Birds of the Bria.
You're talking about Cruikshank's Corner?
Yes,
Cruikshank's Corner. Like an article?
Yes, he did an article. And in one of his articles that he wrote about, one of the things that they did back in the day was part of their literary writing was that they would reverse order of words or phrases. Mm-hmm. And when they reversed the order of a phrase, it was, as it's written in that literary language, it was a callback to the original writers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that.
So that almost comes into the same chiastic thing. When they reversed it, it was being more significant about the order of when you'd say, it's a terrible butcher of the thing, but say the words I love you, but then you reverse it and you love I.
Uh-huh.
It's terrible butcher, but you understand the when you reverse the words, it's like a callback. It's making significance of that phrase. And it seems like the chiastic structure, which it's reversing the original order of the writing in that way, or the imagery of it.
Yep.
It's like making it significant.
Yeah. I feel like we need to put a little bit more effort into this, because I think it's obviously written in this way. So let's try to get a good grasp of what's happening.
Did I confuse you really bad, Andy?
I mean, the whole thing is a little confusing.
It is.
I have gotten a picture. I mean, this has been helpful. Absolutely. This has been helpful.
Yeah.
But I'll probably look up a definition myself to see if
the word is
being
chiasm,
worded a different way.
Chiasm.
Well, and you can find several images as well, where somebody has taken books, not just books of the Bible, but they generally, you can go look and they'll have them put on that little.
Yeah. And if you see those, that would be helpful. If you see the picture, then you can actually, you see how that
helps,
works, the
helps,
reference.
The visual helps.
So it's kind of like, and Esther had something similar too. Mm-hmm, Esther had some of that weird kind of literary devices in it too. Pretty interesting.
Well, you kept talking about when the Lord was spelled forward, it meant
right
favor for the Jews.
Favor
when the
for
Lord
the Jews.
Was spelled backwards, it was
favor for the
destruction
Gentiles.
For the Jews.
That's right. That was the reverse word. We did that in Esther.
Oh, do we?
So, this has been fun. I mean, we're still learning, but ugh, man,
learning is hard.
Yeah, it's just like you kind of wish that you were raised a Hebrew so you could understand the Hebrew mind. For me, you know, I wish I was. Well, no, that's not what I mean. I don't want to. I'm happy with my nationality. I'm just saying I wish I had the same understanding of their language that they do.
It would help. Yeah,
it would. Yeah, absolutely. Sarita, thanks so much for all your help.
Yeah, you betcha.
So great. Behind the glass, Mr. Andy Bishop, thank you so much. Andrew AAB. Andrew. Ab. A-A-B-A-B. A-B-A-B.
Abe.
Ab. Ralph, thanks so much. Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody get home safe. Yep. And we will talk to you guys again next. Oh, wait, I got a joke.
Oh, no.
My wife gave it to me today.
She sure did.
What is Forrest Gump's password on his computer?
I have no idea.
Chocolate.
That would have been a good one. Anybody think of anything else?
Shrimp.
I had said Jenny, but all of those were wrong. It's one, Forrest, one. That was my wife. Good job, babe.
It was
good
awesome.
Job, Holly.
That was literally my mom's password on a laptop at one point. I'm not lying.
We will talk to you guys again next time on the Burrows of Berea. Peace out.
Bye.
Later.
Y'all.
Bye.
Hey, guys, this is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. A lot of people have been asking us, hey, what is this Patreon thing? Our old Patreon ad didn't work very well. So here you go, guys. Go to www.patreon. That is patreon.com. Let me do that again. patreon.com/ the Burrows of Berea. If you go to the Patreon page, you will find that we have different levels that you can give at. We have a $3 level, a $5 level. We've got a $10 level and a $20 level. I thought about putting a $1,000 level there, but you never know how that's going to work out, right, Andy? That's right. So go to www.patreon.com/ the Burrows of Berea and give us all of your money.
Even a little bit will be fine.
Yeah. And that 5,000 wouldn't hurt my either.
No, it would hurt nobody.
Thanks, guys. That's when Ryan and Emily met years ago.
That was the first thing that we did. That's the first gig we did together.
That's crazy, man. That's
wow,
super
I can't
crazy,
it's
bro.
That long ago.
8 years.
Oh, my word.
I'm doing a remake.
Is
it'll
that,
be that, still
does that
water.
Date you, Ralph?
Steel.
Yeah.
Is that dating you?
We should do steel water, like STIHL, and it's just, it's like swimming underwater with Shane
Rushmore.
I was thinking more like a whiskey still.
Whiskey still, yeah, still
yeah.
Water.
Still water.
Did you help pick the noses on the
road? Starring Popcorn Sutton.
Yeah.
But anyway.
A dramatic movie starring
Hey, if you want to see some stuff from Popcorn Sutton, just go to
Binion's.
Hey,
somebody got my leak. We just went there.
Yes. Binion's has the still. The last
thing.
I went by that thing like a million times and didn't even realize it was his still.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
I think that was his last one.
It was. Yep. He said, I ain't got no liquor because some whatever and had me caught.
Yeah.
Yep. He had a tragic end, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a wonderful life, though.
You think? I hear he was kind of a searching for a word that that's not a swear.
Why? Because he gave his kid away?
No, because he was just kind of a mean, ornery guy.
Yeah, well, you know, you live by yourself long enough, you're going to be a mean, ornery guy.
I think you might be getting cause and effect mixed up, but close enough.
I think that hanging around a bunch of mash is probably not good for
your brain.
Your
brain, yeah. Yeah.
You know, constantly making light.
The fumes. Yeah, that can't be mash. Good. Yeah, the fumes of it when they're cooked.
And you never saw him without a cigarette in his hand, like ever. He was always, like, he was a chain smoker.
He's kind of like the guy, the dad and grumpy old man that ate bacon all the time. He's kind of like the same things. Like, he did everything that you shouldn't do, and he lived a long time.
Some people that just have those genetics, and they can just, they just do. They just smoke till they're 250 years old. they eat nothing but hot dogs 24 hours a day, and they're like fine.
That's because they're preserved.
Some people are just like that, though. Skinny. Some people just have that constitution.
Isn't that wild?
Well, when you look on the label of some of those cans, you know, and see that these things last you 200 years, this guy's just been preserved.
Yeah, that's crazy. Are we rolling, Andy? All right.